Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minute 59 of Season 10 of Movie Our Minute, the daily podcast where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller, The Taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Travis Bowe of Minute of Thieves. Welcome back to the show, Travis.
Thank you, thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, maybe you will be willing to change your restrictions here. I don't know. I'll try to convince you otherwise. How's that?
All right. I hope so.
Well, I hope so, actually. Because, you know, otherwise you're going to start killing passengers. We don't necessarily want to see that. Maybe not. So minute 59 begins with Garber getting anxious and ends with both Gray and Brown checking the time. So we ended things yesterday with Garber coming up with a little bit of a plan to try to maybe keep the hostages alive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as you mentioned yesterday, we had the perfect cut between minutes when Garber asked for Blue to change the destination. Meaning that they need to get to the station and not get to the train itself at the time.
Right.
And we saw that Mr. Blue was contemplating this and didn't give an answer yet. And this minute ends with, you know, we get a fraction of a second of Blue still thinking, and then we see Garber, who's not really sure. And he goes, "Do you read me, Pelham, for crying out loud?" And, you know, I love how everyone is gathered around Garber.
Yeah.
Behind him.
Yeah, he's commanding the whole room. And meanwhile, sucking on a hard candy. Like, he's trying to negotiate this, and then he, you know, gets word from Blue, and then he relays that information to Daniels. But meanwhile, just like, you know, pushing that, I don't know what it is, butterscotch or something, you know, around his mouth while he's talking to people on the radio in this crisis situation is just kind of funny to me.
Yeah, I do like the way that they do that. Because I think it's part of the whole idea that he's taking care of this in a good way, but in a very nonchalant way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think that's part of the idea here. You know, to say, all right, you know, he's calm. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's not agitated at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I like the way that they show that. And then we're back to Blue, who thinks about it for a second, and he goes, "All right, Garber, but no more concessions. Is that quite clear?" And Garber then says, quite clear. Meaning that you know, he's glad that he finally is able to finally convince Blue to move a little bit on his you know, on his deadline.
He got him to budge just a little bit.
Yeah. And then I it's really great how Garber then presses another button right away.
Yeah.
And, you know, starts talking. It makes you think that what if he would have pressed the wrong button here?
I know. I kept thinking that, you know.
And speak to Blue instead and say, he goes, "Inspector, they bought it. If we get the money over to the train and the station entrance by 3:13, we'll be okay."
Yeah. That definitely felt risky to be, you know, so.
Very risky. Yeah, we've all done that. We've all sent emails to the wrong person.
Sure.
We've all sent text messages to the wrong person. You know, this is not trivial. This is something that can easily happen. And especially in this type of situation where Garber is, I guess you could sort of say he's over his head here.
Sure.
With all that's going on, he could easily have made this type of problem.
Yeah.
This type of mistake by possibly, you know, pressing the wrong button. You know, I don't know. And then we get a shot of Inspector Daniels receiving the information. He goes, "Good work, Garber." And then he like snaps his fingers to the guy behind him who like rushes away. So I don't really know what that really is supposed to be.
Not sure either. A lot of the stuff with Daniels, like, because he's in the subway, like at the station level, but like he conveys information. I don't remember if it's in previous minutes or in this minute or later, but you know, like he knows where everything is, you know, at every given moment. It's like, how do you know you're standing next to a subway car? You know, I don't know.
Right. I mean, it's great also that he's talking on the radio from the subway car because that's where Garber is. You know, I like the way that they do that.
Yeah.
And it's also really, really interesting that if you look and you can see in second 16 of this minute, you can actually see his watch.
Oh, yeah. I did notice that.
And do you see what time it is?
Oh, no. I just noticed, like, for some reason, like, all the officers in these, like, nice dress blues with their shiny brass buttons, there's something very, you know, 1930s, 1940s about their look. So that caught my eye. And then I noticed that his watch is, like, the same kind of gold color as all that stuff. But I'm guessing so
it looks as if his watch is 3:15.
Okay.
Which means that his watch is a few minutes fast.
Sure.
You know, there are people who do that. I mean, like, I don't. Do you set your watch ahead in order to make sure you get on time, places,
and things? No, but I wear a Apple Watch, so like to set the time ahead would probably be difficult. You know?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, I mean, I know people who do that, and I always say to myself, you know, when you do that, if you know that that's what you've done,
right?
You can't even fool yourself. Because
yeah, I feel like
idea.
I feel like I have done that with my car. You know, years and years ago, I think I did that in order to like once I get in the car, then I'm, you know, just to get to work a little slightly earlier. You know, I think I've tried that, but then it's still in the back of my head, I know what time it is because I know that I've set it. You know, whatever. So.
Right. Yeah. Okay. No, I understand that. But you see, that's the thing that always gets me. You know, it's like, okay, you know that that's what it's like. You know, right. I know people who will set an alarm, and they purposely know that they're not going to get up to the alarm, so they set a second alarm. And
yeah.
And like, I say to myself, okay, well, you know, if you know that you only will get up on the second alarm, then the first alarm is not going to do anything anyway.
Yeah, my wife sets a lot of alarms. I tend to just have one. Well, I wake up naturally now around between 4:30 and 5, and then I can't get back to sleep. So I'm just up, you know, before the alarm goes off anyways. So I only have one alarm, but yeah, she'll do several, you know, alarms and then sleep through, or not sleep through them, but like she'll hit snooze or hit the alarm and then go about her laying around, you know, and, because she builds in like so much, you know, lounge time, you know, before she has to get up and get started with her day. So,
right. No, it drives my wife crazy actually that I get up to the alarm on my watch. I have like a Casio, and you know, it just by that those beeping, I get up. You know,
oh yeah, that high, is it still that high pitched Casio beeping?
Yeah,
noise.
Typical, or, you know, the same thing that they've had for like, you know, I don't know, 50 years, whatever it is.
Wow, yeah, yeah.
And that's all I need. It's rare that I oversleep. It does happen, but it's rare. You know, one day last week, I didn't hear it, so I woke up like an hour later. But whatever. For some reason, still got to work at the same time. So I can't really explain that one. But, you know. It just drives her nuts because like she and the, you know, she needs to like wake up and then lie in bed and wait and work. So
yeah
but yeah so at this point so like I said, he snaps his finger and the guy behind him maybe he's sending him to go give information up on top. You know,
could be, but yeah. But then, as I was watching the minute, like we'll see the Bureau commander and the guy in the car still there on their radio. So I don't know if is Daniels conveying information to the Bureau commander?
The Bureau commander.
Bureau, yeah. Yeah, sorry.
That was okay. I think so.
Okay. Maybe. And then he's relaying information to the guys in the car. So
I believe so. I think that's the way they're going through the whole thing. And then we have the I think I said his name was Albert. Albert and the other guy in the car, and they go, "Hello, headquarters, Charlie. Heading north on Center Street, approaching Kenmare. Over." So did you look up where Kenmare was?
I didn't catch that one. No.
Okay, so again, Kenmare is not that far off.
Okay.
Where they were, which is also pretty interesting, because again, they're continuing up on Center Street, so it shouldn't be
okay.
It's not as difficult figuring it out, but they've gone a nice distance between that. They've crossed over Canal Street, Kenmare is where the Bowery is.
Okay.
It's near Delancey Street and things like that. So this is the Lower East Side. From this this area, I only know that because I know that my stepfather grew up near Delancey Street in the Lower East Side. That's the only reason I know it, not because I've obviously been there, as a kid, but I don't remember it at all, the whole thing. And they are continuing along the route that they've told. Again, it seems very accurate.
Yeah.
By the way that they are explaining all this stuff here. I like that too.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're back and we get a shot of the Bureau commander, McMillan, and he goes, "Keep it coming, you got 4 minutes." And he goes, "Yes, sir, we'll make it." And then he turns
to his
partner. He goes, "We're not gonna make it." I mean, I'm trying to look on the map, like where they would get to 28th Street, because it's not, okay, there's 16th Street. They still got a nice distance to go.
Yeah, they got a ways to go. Well, I think it's tomorrow when they.
Yeah. Tomorrow they
talk about where they make it to. Yeah,
exactly. But so I'm looking at the map. So Center Street on, Center Street is actually going to turn into Lafayette in a block or two after where they are. But it's still a nice distance. Let's put it this way: once it turns into Lafayette Street, then they get to First Street, and they have to get to 28th Street, which means there's still 28 blocks to get to go through.
Yeah.
To get to where they need to. So, 4 minutes, I don't know, 4 minute mile, that's
right.
Yeah, I don't know. Not really sure. Yeah, but I love how he just like mutters under his breath, "We're not going
to." Yeah.
No. Actually, he doesn't say we're not going to make it. He says we'll never make it. So, and then the shot changes and another cop shows up next to the Bureau commander. He goes, "Sir, we just got word the mayor's on his way down." He goes, "Oh, terrific. Tell him we'll hold the crowd till he gets here." Meaning everyone knows that nobody likes the mayor.
Yeah. What does he mean by "we'll hold the crowd"? Like, speech to a crowd? Or
I think the joke is that this is a mayor that nobody wants to go and listen to his speeches. So if we hold the crowd, then people will actually get to see him, or he'll get to be around people. It's he's a very unlikable. He's a very unlikable mayor.
Yeah.
Which I can understand because we've had a number of scenes with him.
I recognized him immediately as the mayor from Batman.
From Batman, of course.
Yeah.
He ended up leaving Manhattan and became the mayor of Gotham. So
that's right.
That makes a lot of sense. And then we get a shot of the two motorcycle policemen slowing down because there is a Avis moving truck that's blocking their way. So what do you know about the Avis rental car company?
Not much. I saw that they, I think, started in the 60s, and they were competing with the Hertz company a lot. I looked up the slogan that's on the side of the truck that says, was like, "We try harder." So,
right. Okay. So, the company was actually founded in 1946, in Ypsilanti, Michigan, where I've been to Ypsilanti. And they had three cars at the Willow Run Airport, which is in Ypsilanti. And, a man named Warren Avis was the one who created it. He was born in 1915 and passed away in 2007, meaning that he lived to the nice age of 92. And eventually by 1953, so we're talking 7 years later, it became the second largest car rental company in the country. And in 1956, by the time it had reached its 10th anniversary, it had already opened offices in Europe, Canada, and Mexico. They adopted the corporate model of "We Try Harder" in 1962.
Oh, yeah.
The current CEO at the time, Robert Townsend, transformed the company. They wanted to put a positive spin on the status as the second largest car rental company, saying that, okay, we're not number one, we're not Hertz, but we'd still try harder than they do. They actually used this slogan for 50 years before rebranding it in 2012. Yeah. Do you know what their current slogan is?
No idea.
It's your space.
Okay.
Again, not really sure why. They were the first company to introduce a computer-based information and reservation system to be used in car rental in the car rental business. And their system is known as the Wizard, and any customer frequent customers each have a Wizard number. You know, like that's how they're identified in the system, you know, in order to get their points, I guess, or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And they actually instituted in 1981 a vehicle tracking system that was called the Advanced Vehicle Identification System, which is an acronym for Avis.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, that's pretty interesting that they... That they did that. So yeah, it's been around for 79 years. As of now, they have 5,500 locations around the world in 165 countries.
Okay.
Yeah, and their annual revenue is about $5.3 billion. So I guess they were.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So yeah, they get stopped by this van that's you know, that's stuck in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
And you know, we hear, "Hey, get out of there! What are you doing? Get it over there!" They just start shouting, you know. Now we can see where they're located right now. They're at the corner of Lafayette and Spring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you know, as I mentioned before, they were close to Lafayette Street, so they've now moved along, and Spring Street and Lafayette is basically only a block and a half away from where they were before when they said that they were on Kenmare and Center.
Okay.
So it's not that far away, but what's really funny is at that exact intersection there is a subway station. You know, nice. Obviously it's not the one that they need, but the six train does go through there.
Okay.
You know, it's too far down for where they need to get to. So I just think that's pretty funny that you know, they get stuck at a, at a
right.
subway station where you can theoretically get on the 6th train.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, again, it wouldn't help them to get there in time. But
right, yeah.
And, you know, we have another cop there that's yelling at the driver, trying to figure out what to do. And they just say the hell with it. And they drive over the curb and go against traffic.
Yeah.
In the oncoming lane. But again, they're not going as fast as one would think that they should have.
Yeah, they're definitely using a lot of caution, you know.
Yeah.
But
I think too much caution at that point.
Well, we'll see tomorrow, like what happens right. when they just
okay.
go. You know.
True, true. So. And then we get a shot inside the train. We see Mr. Gray look at his watch. You know, he's waiting for some blood. And then he looks over at Mr. Brown, who then looks at his watch. You know, and I like the way that they sink it. And then Mr. Gray then lifts up his machine gun as he's waiting for, you know, for Mr. Blue to give the order.
Yeah, he's ready. Down.
He's ready to gun them all down. That's it.
Yep. There's a lot of, like, I don't know. I've noticed it throughout this week as we've been driving, you know, north, that I guess the production team, they must have reused a lot of these cars that kind of tend to be in the shots. There's a red or orange Volkswagen Beetle that is in several of these shots throughout the week. And sometimes it's against traffic. In this case, it's, you know, it would be going the same direction as the cop car because it's stopped waiting at the Avis truck, you know. So it's like sometimes they use it in the opposite lane. I'm assuming, I mean, it could be different ones. Maybe it's just random, but it's in several shots where in different locations they'll have this red Beetle.
Well, you should
I think
check the license plate. See the same license plate.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's too blurry. You won't be able to read it anyway. That's the way that this minute ends. Did you have anything else you wanted to add about this particular minute?
No, I don't think so. I didn't have too much on this one.
Okay. All right. Very good. So every Thursday we have a segment, which is a game called the 70s Trivia Potpourri, where I will once again randomly give you a trivia question about movies from the 70s.
Okay.
Spin the wheel and see what movies you're going to get questions about. Around, 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 around. Okay. Who is the character from the airport movie series played by George Kennedy that is in everyone, he's the only character to be in all four of the movies.
I have no idea.
Jim's going to be upset at you for not knowing that one. I wonder if I would have said it backwards, if that would have helped you. If I would have said the name of the character.
I doubt it. Okay. Yeah, that's not a franchise I'm super familiar with.
Okay, so it's Joe Petroni.
Yeah, wouldn't have got that.
Okay. All right. Let's spin the wheel again and see what the next one is. Okay. In the movie Deliverance, what sort of boat do the main characters ride down the river?
I'll say a fishing boat. Oh wait, no, it's a swamp boat, right? It's like a big fan boat on the back.
Nope.
No. Oh.
It's a canoe. Canoe.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. Let's spin the wheel again for the next one. Okay, in the movie, in what movie from 1976 does a character scream, "I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore"?
I think that's from Network.
Yes, very good. Okay. All right, let us spin the wheel again for your fourth question. Okay. Of the four movies I'm going to mention, they are all James Bond movies. Which one?
Nice.
Which one was not from the 1970s?
So, okay.
The Spy Who Loved Me, Goldfinger, Moonraker, or Diamonds Are Forever?
Okay. What are they again?
The Spy Who Loved Me, Goldfinger, Moonraker, or Diamonds Are Forever?
Goldfinger.
That is correct. Very good. All right, and the final one, which will which will be the deciding factor.
Yeah.
For Travis. You got 2 out of 4 so far. Hopefully this one will also be one that you're familiar with. Okay. In the movie Black Sunday, what kind of vehicle does Bruce Dern use to try and commit a terrorist attack at the Super Bowl with?
That would be the Oscar Mayer hot dog mobile.
No, it wouldn't.
No, I'm pretty sure. If you go back and rewatch it, you'll see I'm right.
Have you ever seen Black Sunday?
Nope, never even heard of it. So,
okay. So
I figured I had to take a guess, so I might as well guess something ridiculous.
Okay. No, but again, okay, let me give you a little bit of a hint here. It's at the Super Bowl. So what type of vehicle do you think would be at the Super Bowl that could potentially do a lot of harm to
monster truck?
No, the answer is a Goodyear blimp.
Oh, okay.
It's actually another Robert Shaw movie. It's pretty interesting.
Huh.
Okay. Thank you for playing.
Yeah.
So once again, we will play the game of Name That Remake, and I will randomly give a question to Travis about a movie that has been remade with some little clues. So let's spin the wheel and see how this one goes. Okay, so this movie, the original movie came out in 1987 and the remake came out in 2018.
Did you say 1987 or 97?
1987.
87, okay.
Yes. Okay, an heiress cheats her carpenter and then.
Oh, okay. Falls overboard.
Up. There you go. Okay, nice. That's good. I'm glad you got that one. I'm trying to think if I've even seen the remake of this one. I'm a big fan
of
the original Kurt Russell Goldie Hawn version of it.
Yeah.
The remake is with Anna Faris and Eugenio Derbez. I don't know who that is. So yeah, interesting. Maybe I should. It doesn't look very good. Because it's also the opposite, that the guy gets.
Oh right, they flip flop it.
Yeah, so he's the one who gets amnesia there. So,
yeah. Right.
Okay, so Travis, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Travis Bowe?
Sure, Real Comic Heroes and Minute of Thieves are my two podcasts. You can find those pretty easily just by searching those names.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. If you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. And you can find me on Facebook. So, until tomorrow,
Gazoon tight.